वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तुमा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति।
John chapter 6, verses 16 to 20.
नात्यश्नतस्तु योगोऽस्ति न चैकान्तमनश्नतः न चापि स्वप्नशीलस्य जाग्रतो नैव चार्जुन नात्यश्नतस्तु योगोऽस्ति न चैकान्तमनश्नतः न चापि स्वप्नशीलस्य जाग्रतो नैव चार्जुन। युक्ताहारविहारस्य युक्तचेष्टस्य कर्मसु युक्तस्वप्नावबोधस्य योगो भवति दुःखः। युक्ताहारविहारस्य युक्तचेष्टस्य कर्मसु युक्तस्वप्नावबोधस्य योगो भवति दुःखः। यदा नियतं चित्तम् आत्मन्येवावतिष्ठते निःस्पृहः सर्वकामेभ्यः युक्त इत्युच्यते तदा यदा नियतं चित्तम् आत्मन्येवावतिष्ठते निःस्पृहः सर्वकामेभ्यः युक्त इत्युच्यते तदा। यदा दीपो निवातस्थः निगते शोकमास्मृता योगिनो यतचित्तस्य युज्यतो योगमात्मनः यदा दीपो निवातस्थः निगते शोकमास्मृता योगिनो यतचित्तस्य युज्यतो योगमात्मनः। यत्रो परमते चित्तम् निरुद्धं योगसेवया यत्र चैवात्मनात्मानं पश्यन्नात्मनि दृश्यते यत्रो परमते चित्तं निरुद्धं योगसेवया यत्र चैवात्मनात्मानं पश्यन्नात्मनि दृश्यते।
Extroverted mind, which is trying to find happiness in the world outside, in the objects of the world outside, is not ready for going within. Meditation is the process of taking the mind inward and uniting it one with the self. As long as there is conviction that the external object can give us happiness, there is no way our mind can be taken in the world. Therefore, in the fifth chapter, very clearly Lord Krishna said in 22nd verse, you remember, for the enjoyments born of sense contacts are dukkha yonayaha, means what? Wounds of the sorrow. the enjoyments born of sense contacts are all wounds of sorrow. Therefore, when we talked about it at the time, we said that doesn't mean you now stop contacting. Because inside the conviction has to change. Now by stopping the contact per se, the conviction inside that the external object can provide us happiness is not going to change. How can that change? He said, while contacting, now you be awake and alert over there. Just observe what is happening when we madly run after the worldly objects. Supposing you crave for something, some object, a sweet or a fruit, whatever it might be. You are like looking forward for it. And then you run after it, and when you get it, you put it in your mouth, and what do? You close your eyes and say, wow, wow, wow. You understand? Basically what is happening there, awareness is gone for a toss. When the awareness goes for a toss, you are deluded, fooled by the contact as it were, as though the pleasure came from the object. Hence what happens? After the contact, you lost the pleasure. Therefore what do you say? I got the pleasure when I contacted, so I must run after it more and more and more. Such a person, if you bring him and make him sit on the seat of meditation, his mind is only going to run after the objects. Therefore, Vedanta says, first prepare yourself in the world outside. Now, keep yourself awake when you contact. Be there totally. When you are there totally, then you will see that the pleasure actually did not come from the object, it came from within. And only then your conviction will change. Only then your direction will change. Otherwise it is not possible. Therefore, in the third chapter, Lord Krishna said, Lokesmin Durida Nishta Pura Prokta Mayanaha Jnana Yogena Samkhya Nam Karma Yogena Yogina. In the beginning, you need to do Karma Yoga, meaning you have to live in the world. You got to practice the Grahastha Ashrama. You got to very much be in the world, contacting the object. All that you need to do is not drop the contact with the object, but contact with awareness. Be in them totally. Contact them mindfully. When you contact them mindfully, then you will be able to see the futility of such contact. There is no pleasure coming from that. It is coming from within. So he said, serene minded. Only then the mind becomes calm, composed, serene. Otherwise it will be running constantly towards the world outside. Fearless. Why fearless? Fearless because you are going to lose the ego. The process of meditation is going to lead you to the ultimate death. The death that we are scared of. That all the fear finally amounts to death. If I lose my possessions, what will happen? Probably the people who are respecting me, I know very well deep inside that they are respecting me because of my bank balance, not because of who I am. So when my bank balance reduces, probably I lose the people, then there will be nobody to take care of me. Ultimately, all fear amounts to fear of death. Right? So, worse than that is death of ego. In fact, people get ready themselves to die. Why? By dying for the country, my name is restored. Honesty is restored. Pride is restored. You understand? So I am ready to die because the worst death is honor. Lord Krishna tells Arjuna, Arjuna, what is the point in living after your honor is taken away, man? If you run away from the battle, people will laugh at you. And that is too much for a Kshatriya. For a Kshatriya, physical death is no big deal. For him, death of honor is big deal. You understand? Why? The ego death is even worse. Now in the case of meditation, the death of ego is what will happen. You will have to give up your individuality. By slowly, slowly in the process of meditation, you will give up your individuality and you will gain the totality. So you got to become fearless, serene minded, fearless, seeking and firm in the vow of Brahmacharya. I told you before, 14 words, in the 13th verse he talks about focusing on the tip of your nose. When you focus on the tip of your nose, or as he said in between the eyebrows in the 5th chapter, the pressure will be there on the Ajna chakra, the one which is between your eyebrows. And above Ajna chakra is Sahasrara, below Ajna chakra is all other chakras. The energy flowing downwards creates the world. The energy flowing upwards from Ajna chakra is destruction of the world. And any thought on which you will be focused spending time while your pressure is on Ajna chakra, that thought becomes wild. Wild. Start becoming a big conflagration. That wild, wild.
Wild.
Now, ordinarily, if your thoughts are going towards the senses, right? As it is, you are finding it difficult to get over it. It's worse than addiction. You understand? It becomes too powerful to handle thereafter. So he says, you better make sure you practice Brahmacharya. Brahmacharati is the Brahmacharya. Make sure that your energies are flowing upwards and not downwards. The energy gets circulated in a particular area when you have not done that, focused on that area totally. If you leave your work unfinished at night, your sleep gets disturbed. You're not even able to go to sleep. So then you might as well finish it and go to work. Supposing you come to the class, leaving all your work halfway through, you are neither here nor there. Supposing you quit totally, then when you come, you are totally here. So when you do act, you got to act totally. Brahmacharya, discipline is very important. Otherwise, the thoughts that will occur during meditation when you are focusing the Ajna chakra will be becoming more powerful. Therefore, they talked about Brahmacharya. Very, very important. Brahmacharya Vrata. Otherwise, you will be becoming more involved in the worldly things. That is why you find a lot of people, after having come out of meditation, you will see that they are still becoming more entangled in the world. The reason is their thoughts have not yet become purified. That is why a guru constantly emphasizes, first purify, then you can meditate. To the extent you purify, to that extent you meditate. Then, thinking on me, let him sit seeking union with me as the Supreme. Thus, constantly seeking union with me, the yogi with his mind controlled attains peace, culminating in Supreme Bliss which abides in me. Slowly, slowly, you will be able to take your mind from the outside world to inside, and then it will get established in the inside. An extroverted mind is bound to be agitated. An extroverted mind is bound to be agitated. The mind needs to be turned introverted, and the mind can be turned introverted in the initial stages only through total activity or mindful activity. Next word. Natyashnatastu yogokti, natyashnatastu yogokti, nachaikantamanashnatah, nachaikantamanashnatah, nachapiswapnashilasya, nachapiswapnashilasya, jagrato naiva charjuna, jagrato naiva charjuna, natyashnatastu yogokti, nachaikantamanashnatah, nachapiswapnashilasya, jagrato naiva charjuna. Verily, yoga is not for him who eats too much or does not eat at all, nor for him who sleeps too much or keeps awake over too much. This is one of the most important verses. Yoga. Earlier he defined yoga as what? Samatvam yogam ishate. Yoga is balance. Yoga means balance. Samatvam yogam ishate. Balanced mind. We say your any part of your body when it is sick, what happens?
It stops working. It doesn't work for the rest of the organs in tandem.
So when it is not working in tandem with the rest of the parts, what happens?
It's a discord. It's a discord. You fall in.
Yeah.
It doesn't function properly.
It makes its presence known. When we say it makes its presence known, what happens? Your consciousness is stagnating there. What does health mean? Health means your consciousness is not stagnating with reference to any part. Swastha. Swastha means your consciousness is not stuck with any part. It is with the self. Do you see?
Vegetarian.
Exactly. It's not stuck anywhere. When it is there, it's there. When it moves, it's freely moving, the consciousness. It's a flow. But when you fall sick, what happens? Like when a tooth falls, your tongue is finding the gap. Meaning what? Your consciousness is getting stuck there with reference to that tooth. It's fallen, it's fallen, it's fallen. So the problem is what? Your consciousness is getting stagnated. When you eat too much, what happens? Your consciousness gets stuck with your stomach. When you eat too little, what happens? Your consciousness gets stuck with the stomach. Please understand this. The idea is to get your focus inward, but if your focus starts getting stuck outside, how are you going to take it inside? That is why they constantly talk about keeping yourself as healthy as possible.
As?
Healthy as possible. Spirituality is not for sick people. Swami Chidananda used to say, see, if somebody falls sick in the ashram, any inmate of the ashram falls sick, I believe he used to say to him. Why? Because according to him, that fellow has been following certain things too much. Either sleeping too much or not sleeping at all. Either eating too much or not eating at all. Only then you get stuck there. If you focus properly, only give that much time and attention to the part. When you have to give, you give it totally. So what do we do? When we are there, we are somewhere else. While eating, mind is somewhere else, watching TV or on the phone. As a result of which, what happens? You either eat too little or you eat too much. As a result of it, what happens? Your focus, your attention, energy, everything starts circulating there with reference to that particular part, stomach. It is not taken inward. We got to first make sure that there are no obstacles. That is why they say a spiritual sadhak cannot afford to have enemies. Now this doesn't mean you can make everybody think positively about you. There will be people who will think negative about you. That is different. But from your angle, you continue maintaining working relationship. If from your angle you develop negative thoughts towards anybody, then your consciousness will start roaming in that area alone. You will not be able to take it inward. Therefore, it is essential for you to make sure that from within you don't have any ill feeling towards any being. Do you understand that now? If you want to really spiritually grow, if you want to find that happiness, if you want to get that sukham, bliss that you are looking for, you want to make sure that you do not have any resentment. Be done with those resentment feelings. Make sure that your body is healthy. Make sure that your emotions are pure. Otherwise, it is going to be stuck there. Obstacle. So now, why do we say you need to have that purity within? This is the reason. Otherwise, you get stuck. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If you want to go to God, you got to make sure that none of the outside things stop you. They are all stopped by many things. And in fact, if certain things doesn't stop us, we become worried. Isn't it? It's very interesting. Oh, I don't have any problems to worry. Why? Because you are not sure whether you are there. To make your presence known, you got to keep on complaining. So you will become so trained in such a way that even if things which are normal, you will start finding faults. Because only in finding faults, you are keeping your presence alive. You are making yourself present there. Are you with me? Because if you are not complaining, you are not there. Think about this. It's very interesting. So, you will find numerous ways to be in shoka, in sorrow. Because only then, in sukham, you are not complaining. Anything normal, natural, is not a matter of complaint. You don't even talk about when you are in happy state of mind. You are not complaining. So by constantly finding fault, by constantly, complaining, you are making your presence known. Otherwise you think, you get a doubt, maybe I am not alive, maybe I am dead. So the ego goes on complaining, finding fault.
Attention seeking.
Exactly.
Sitting in.
So therefore, he is here. See, when you fit in with everything around, you are not complaining about anything. You are just focusing on what is to be done. And when you do and move, you understand, you totally move. You remember that two sannyasi stories? Young sannyasi and an old sannyasi, where they are in the market purchasing something for the ashram. While coming back, they saw a young married woman carrying a lot of luggage, struggling to carry and walk. So the young one offered to carry her and the luggage and drop her at her place. And he dropped her there. After that, the old sannyasi was complaining, constantly gripping, how could you touch a woman? We are sannyasi. We are not supposed to touch a woman. How did you do? For which he said, I don't deny that I touched her, but I dropped her long time ago. You are still carrying her in your mind. So the problem is what? Samsara is what? Carrying things in your mind. Why do we carry things in our mind? When we follow ati, means extreme, things get carried in our mind. Isn't it? When you eat too much, food is in your mind. When you eat too little, food is in your mind. When you eat properly, food is not in your mind. This is the problem. Anything that starts occupying your brain is sickness. You understand? Hunger is natural, normal, part of life. It's part of nature. You eat, what is wrong with it? But it starts occupying your brain, then it becomes sickness. Everything is like that. That is why in spirituality, from the mundane, there is no such thing as mundane or anything. Anything that you can think of, when it starts occupying your brain, the center is moved. From stomach, it has gone to brain. You understand? So a person who is in extremes, he is not there fully. When you are doing an action and mentally you are craving for the pleasures that can come from that action, what is happening is you are not involving yourself in that action totally. As a result of which, what happens? You don't experience that totally. When you don't experience that totally, what happens? It gets up your mind. Or if you are sleeping too much, if you sleep too much, what happens? You won't get the pleasure. You understand? You miss everything. Either way, it starts occupying your mind. Vedanta is never against occupation. It is only against preoccupation. Remember this. Lot of us think that Vedanta is against occupation. So they are so worried to come to Vedanta class because it will make them give up their job. In fact, we keep telling people, Vedanta will put you back into your work, don't worry. In fact, you will start enjoying your work. You will be in your work completely, totally. When you are in your work completely, totally, then the work will not be preoccupying your mind. It will not cause stress, impossible. So what is causing stress is not the work. What is causing stress is your extremity in work. Please understand. So verily yoga is not for him who eats too much or eats too little. The problem is not the quantum that he is talking about. Why does the quantum go up or down? Go more or less? Why? Because while you contact, you are not there in the quantum. Please understand. The quantum, if somebody determines the quantum, does it change? How can somebody determine the quantum for you? What is too little for you or too much for you? Can you say that everybody must have only a bowl of rice? You can't. So therefore he doesn't talk about the quantum. He just says neither too much nor too little. How much is too much? How much is too little? Who can decide? You got to decide it for yourself. I can't decide for you. You can't decide for me. Remember this. Spirituality is a single fight. In fact, for the matter, in any field, comparison should be avoided. In spiritual field, all the more the comparison should be avoided. You go to yoga. Don't compare yourself with somebody else. You understand? Yoga constantly reminds you, don't stretch beyond your limits. You see the other fellow, when he is doing halasana, he is able to touch his toes to the ground. You are not even climbing up. So what is going on here? And if you put too much pressure, what will happen? You will throughout the day be remembering only about halasana. You understand? That fellow does halasana and moves. You, throughout the day, halasana starts becoming a big headache for you. It can start giving you headaches. What does headache mean? Your energy is getting stuck there. Your approach, something is wrong. See, whenever we fall sick, what is that telling us? The nature is telling us that there is something wrong in your approach. There is something wrong in the way you are living. We never learn from it. Right?
What happens in an accident if someone falls down? A car crash.
Same thing.
Even in an accident?
Yes. You can find fault in anything. You can find, like if you see a rose plant, one can complain that it is full of thorns. One can say even in this thorny plant, there are rose petals, rose flowers. It depends. So whether it is accident or anything for that matter, everything is happening because there is something wrong. The way many of us you know, I read it somewhere, insurance companies believe the same, that accidents happen between two drivers who are looking for accidents, who are looking for accident-prone drivers, who attack each other. See, the psychology is very interesting. That is why the F1 drivers and all these people are trained. If by chance there is some skidding happens and the car is moving towards the barrier, what happens is usually you will be looking at the barrier. When your attention is focused on the barrier, your body, your hands, everything will turn the steering in that direction. Therefore, they are trained well in advance, properly, to look on the other side. Are you with me? The attention is turned the other side. When the attention is not looking at the barrier, they look at the other side, automatically the physical body, the hands turn the steering the other side. So what do we learn from this? Where our attention is going is very, very important. You were talking about accidents. This is what insurance people say. Two accident-prone people who are looking for each other. They say when you are driving, you are looking for posts. You know, a proper driver. Posts are there. Everything is there. The cars are there. But he is not looking for those things. He is looking ahead and driving. But if you see it, other fellow, post is there, post is there. And the steering is coming. You tell him, turn the other side, turn the other. You got to keep on telling. Why are you focusing on the post? So the problem is your attention is focused there. So therefore what Krishna is telling here, he is talking about attention here. Please understand this. While you are eating, is your attention is there with reference to eating? Not at all. You got to understand, even sleep. You cannot simply say, somebody requires this much sleep only. You know, when a child is in mother's womb, it is only sleeping. When the child is born, it sleeps for 22 hours, 20 hours, isn't it? And slowly, slowly, in fact, sleeping is a very, very necessary thing. In fact, the brain development is directly related with reference to your sleep. That is why they say, let the children sleep. Don't disturb them. Huh? They need more sleep. As you become older and older, the quantum of sleep required for you reduces. Because whatever needs to be established is already established. Learning consolidation happens, they say, when you sleep. It's very important. Sleeping. That is why it is recommended that children who are preparing for exams, they should not think that if they sacrifice their sleep, they will perform much better in the exams. No. In fact, some of the parents think like that. Said, what nonsense is this? You understand? What are you doing basically is, you are thinking that the fellow is sacrificing his sleep, but he is working against himself. When you do ati, you are working against yourself. Ati is working against yourself. Ati means extreme. Attention vaha nahi hai. In fact, a lot of companies believe if the employee gives more time than he is supposed to give, 8 hours, he is doing wonderful thing for the company. Some of the leaders believe that fellow needs to be thrown out. You don't have to give more than 8 hours. Because what will happen? Once you give too much attention here, the fact that you are giving too much attention means while you, that 8 hours you are not giving proper attention. Therefore we require more time. And secondly, as a result of which your family suffered. If your family suffers, then your work will suffer. He said, this fellow needs to be thrown out.
That is so funny.
Exactly. So Krishna is not talking about the quantum. He is talking about the attention. When you pay attention, you think, you determine how much food I must give myself. reasoning. How much time I must give for eating, and while eating, how much food quantum I must give for eating. Because you are there. Your attention is there. Your awareness is there. And when you do it totally, the food doesn't get onto your brain. That is why Sage Durvasa was called as Nitya Upavasi. Krishna was called as Nitya Brahmachari. Excuse me. The quantum is not the problem there. The problem is whether it has got into our brain, whether it has got stuck to our mind. That is the problem. So Krishna says, if you want to move into meditation, make sure things don't get into your mind. Make sure things don't get into your brain. So therefore, what you got to do? Whatever you do, you think. Pause, ponder, and plunge. What I call as 3P solution. A sadhak means what? 3P. Pause, ponder, plunge. You are very much there in the present, thinking how much contact, how long, the duration, everything. And while contacting, you are contacting it with awareness. When there is attention and awareness while contacting, your consciousness starts flowing freely. You will be able to go inside. Otherwise, you are stopped outside. If you see, all of us are stopped either at the eye level, eyes have stopped us. Smell has stopped us. Ears, sound has stopped us. Or taste has stopped us. Or touch has stopped us. In fact, if the society permits certain things in that area, sometimes you don't become ati. When a society is against a certain contact, then that can become ati. You understand? So you got to be very careful. What becomes ati means it has started occupying your, the space is still not free. You see, huge palatial house, spacious house, but you enter that house, hardly there is any space. Why? Because they put so many furniture, so many things, anywhere you go on buying stuff and put it. In fact, you are moving with, you don't even have space to keep your proper feet, only toes. What kind of palatial house is that? It is a direct reflection of your mind. Your mind is full of cobwebs. You understand? And that is what is happening in the outside. There is no space. If there is no space, where is God going to come and live there? The mind is full of things. This is what Krishna is telling. So let there be no ati. Let there be regulation. Let there be attention. In fact, regulation also a lot of people do mechanically. That is why I am talking about, Krishna is not talking about regulation per se here. The emphasis is not on regulation. The regulation is upon attention. If somebody says, I don't drink every day. I only drink every Saturday evening. Sunday evening also don't drink. Why? Because Monday morning I have to go to work. Saturday night I drink. Because Sunday I don't have to go to work. So I'm a very regulated person, disciplined. Is that discipline? What kind of discipline is that? Per se, drinking only on Sunday evening, or I'm just giving the example of drinking, you take for the matter, anything. What is the big deal about it? No big deal, because on a particular Saturday, if he's denied that, you will know whether his consciousness is stuck with reference to the drinking or not. So regulation per se is no big deal. So Krishna is not talking about regulation per se. Excuse me. Don't put your emphasis on this regulation part here in this verse. Yoga is not for one. Yoga here is talking about Dhyana Yoga, obviously. Yoga is not for one who is eating too much or too little. go, I work all 5 days, but only 2 days I don't work. But all 5 days, where is your mind stuck in? Why are you working those 5 days? For those 2 days. That is why
you created a discipline called Thank God in Friday.
What do you mean by Thank God it's Friday? Means from Monday to Friday, your mind is preoccupied with Saturday and Sunday. So Vedanta is only saying you are living in your head, you are not living at all.
You are wasting your time, man,
because you are living all the time in your head. Think about it. So therefore, he is not per se talking about regulation. He is talking about attentive contact. Contacting with awareness. After thinking. And thinking should be there while contacting. Intellect should precede your action, should be there during the action and after the action. Next question.
युक्ताहारविहारस्य योगो भवति दुःखः योगो भवति दुःखः युक्ताहारविहारस्य युक्तचेष्टस्य कर्मसु युक्तस्वप्नावबोधस्य योगो भवति दुःखः.
To him who is regulated in eating and recreation, regulated in action, who is regulated in sleeping and waking, yoga becomes the destroyer of
sorrow.
In the Ramayana, Mother Sita sees a golden deer in the forest. When she sees a golden deer in the forest, what does she tell? In fact, she gets deluded by it. She says, "My God, it's very enchanting. I must have it." So she tells Lord Ram, "I would like to have that golden deer. Can you please get it for me?" For which Lord Ram says, "There can be no such thing as golden deer. It is some Mayavi's work. It is some magician at work." She doesn't listen. Our dear delights are often such, exposed to view but not to touch. The sight our foolish heart inflames will offer pineapples and flavors. The desires are packed. Another poem, Pond, the one which I quoted just now, is poem Pineapple the Bee by William Cowper. There's another poem called the Pond, I forgot the author's name. In that poem, Pond, ducklings are playing around the pond. A chick befriends them. The mother bird, mother of the chick, cautions the chick, "You can go and play with the ducklings, but when they enter the pond, you don't enter." But the ducklings, as they are playing, every now and then they are going inside the pond, they put their head inside, they put their tail inside, they are enjoying like anything. Seeing that, the chick is getting powerful desire to get inside the water. But it's reminded of the mother bird's caution. So it starts reasoning. Chick's intellect, chicken intellect, starts reasoning. First, in fact, the very interesting thing as for the worm, the boy says, first it sees its own feet. My feet, my this, my that. Finally, it comes to the beak. This, my beaks are pointed, their beaks are round. Is that any reason why I should be down? That's not a reason. Basically, the reason is the feet. Chick doesn't have the webbed feet. Ducklings have the webbed feet. Though it first sees the feet, it rejects it. Because the desire is more for the intellect, the mind. Mind is overpowered the intellect. And then the interesting thing after it says, my beaks are pointed, their beaks are round. Is that any reason why it should be drowned? And then next it makes another very interesting statement. I am really remarkably fond of water. saying that it plunges. The more it, the moment it plunges, it goes inside. The more it struggles to come up, the more it goes down, finally it finishes. So what is happening? When an object comes in front, our attention is taken away by the object. Jayato Shayan Kundaha Sangateshu Pajayate. Our attention has been carried away by the object. Then what is happening? Eating becomes mechanical. When I am doing an action, my attention has been drawn towards the fruit. Then what happens? Activity starts becoming mechanical. When activity starts becomes mechanical, you start doing too much activity. Then when the result comes, very little. Then you say, my God, what is this? I put in so much effort, only this much has come. So what is happening? Your mind is frustrated. Again, it is thinking about the fruit. Mind is preoccupied with that because you did not engage yourself in activity totally. Please understand. Or you are sleeping, not at all engaging in activity. When you don't engage yourself in activity, then also you don't get the due what you are supposed to get through the activity. So either through not acting or through overacting, overindulging, you don't get it. Then what happens? Mind starts getting stuck to the result. So therefore here Krishna says, to him who is regulated in eating, recreation, meaning enjoyment, the senses when they are contacting the respective sense object, it should be there totally. When it is there, you can tell, enough, get that. Or you waited too little, have one more. It's very much there. Otherwise you are lost. Right? So he says, regulated in action, regulated in sleeping and waking. Yoga becomes the destroyer of sorrow. So now what we need to ask is, we have to ask the opposite question. How did we create sorrow? How did we get into trouble?
By letting our mind get distracted.
We got into trouble by what? Unmindful contact. Right? Go to the you're going outside for some work. There you see a chat fellow is sitting and making wonderful chat. So many people are eating and all those people are eating and holding the right and saying, you're seeing all that. So what's happening? Your desire is getting, it's pulling you there. Temporarily you forget what water is using. Whether his hands are clean, all those things you forget. You eat, you only get stuck with the taste. And when that goes inside, what happens? Right, it's going inside, it's wonderful. Tasty, excellent, stimulated. Afterwards, stomach problem, typhoid, AO, etc., etc. Why? Unmindful contact. See, please understand this. To derive sukham, you don't have to do anything because sukham is your original state. But your original state has been destroyed by wrongdoing. Now you got to do something to undo the wrongdoing. Then this undoing is not bringing you sukham. Undoing is only removing the shoka that has been brought about by your unmindful activities. That is why he says yoga becomes the destroyer of sorrow. It doesn't say yoga brings in sukham. Please understand. Every word a yogi uses is used choicefully. He will not use one extra word. A person like Krishna. Because he is never unattentive. He is never unmindful. He is never in a state of non-awareness. We may be doing things rightly, but we will be doing things wrongly. Because we do think right things wrongly. Please understand. somewhere I read this definition. It says, leaders do right things. Right? Am I right? Am I quoting correctly? Leaders do right things. And managers do things right. Am I quoting correctly? But according to me,
right thing should be the other way.
Should be the other way. Whatever it is. Vedanta says, leaders only do things rightfully, rightly. They can do no such things wrongly because you are not a leader if you are not aware. Mechanically, if you do what kind of a leader are you? A person like Krishna, not even one word can come out of him without awareness. See how beautifully he says, this yoga becomes a destroyer. Because we have created sorrow for ourselves. Everything is naturally going on. In nature there is no such thing as sorrow or sukha. If unmindfully we eat, we bring sorrow for ourselves. If unmindfully I speak something, I bring sorrow for myself. So in nature there is no such thing. Isn't it? You find sometimes what you call the supari, you know, those who take money to kill people. Very interesting. Even they say what a criminal is, he's taking money to kill people. A very, very bad guy. But even in that bad guy, you see, he keeps up his word. He takes money means he'll finish the fellow, for sure. That quality that he keeps up his word is a good thing. No? You may find some people only doing the right thing, but he never keeps his word. The so-called right things in the world. So in nature, you can't say everything is totally right, totally wrong. Mindful contact. You are a human being, manushya, only when you are mindfully contact. Otherwise you are not a manushya. In the case of animal, this happens naturally. In the case of a human being, it is given mind. Why? Now you got to do it properly. But the problem is the very mind is what should have been a blessing becomes a curse. So that is what yoga is. Yoga is doing what? It is actually rewiring. It is actually deconditioning. You already conditioned yourself. Everything you see, things are done mechanically. So all sleepwalking, sleep eating, sleep talking. Mind is gone somewhere. It's like daydreaming. To find a person who is very much in the activity in which he or she is involved is very rare. If you can do it totally, that's the way to get up. That's the only primary message Krishna is giving the entire Gita. All other things are to bring you to that level of total attentiveness, total focus. In Swamiji's language, develop the intellect. It doesn't matter what language you use. End of the day, attention. While I am doing, am I there? So I said, somebody asks you, what did you learn from Bhagavad Gita? What does Bhagavad Gita teach you? Tell them, mind your own business. Because that is the most difficult thing. To mind our own business. Minding our mind. If you mind your mind will be your friend. If you don't mind your mind becomes your enemy. Lord Krishna said that in this very chapter. Remember? Dharet Atmanatmanam, Atmanam Avatarayet, Atmaiva Atmano Bandhu, Atmaiva Ritur Atmana. Your mind alone is your friend, your mind alone is your enemy. So how did you create sorrow for yourself? Question that. Did you ask that question? You always believe that fellow brought me sorrow, this fellow brought me sorrow. If you learn to pay attention to the good things in others, then you start paying attention to good things when you get angry also. then you will see in anger there is compassion. In anger there is, I'm sorry, in grief there is dana. From kama, in kama you can see love. That's why I said, you see that fellow who is a guy who takes money to kill others, but he keeps his word. You are seeing good things. Yoga is that which is making you to see good things also. Learning to see positive by going on focusing on negative, you bring sorrow to yourself. That's what I told you. Because sorrow when you have, you are comfortably telling yourself that I am there. So koi complaint nahi, then I get doubt myself whether I am there or not. Isn't it? So it is not that sorrow is there in everything. We make sure sorrow comes in everything. Even in things there is no sorrow, we are champions in bringing sorrow. You will go to a psychiatrist saying, I don't know, maybe something is wrong with me because I don't have any problem. Is everything fine? Because you started thinking that having problem is normal. See how that is the biggest problem. Isn't it? Obviously, he is doing so much of work. Obviously, he is stressed. What do you mean obviously? See, this fellow is not doing anything. He is not stressed. How do you know? Let him get up. You understand? So you think the more you work, the more you contact, the more you are very much in the world, there will be problem. It is normal. Problem is not normal. Problem is created by you. Because if you are normal, there will be no complaints. It's totally ulta. All our understandings are ulta. Don't you think it is natural to have problems? See, in a relationship, if even one person is contacting with awareness, the relationship will be much better. If both can be contacting with awareness, it's a wonderful relationship. But what is going on is, both are contacting with no awareness. So, each going on complaining about the other. Not realizing that it is not the problem that is coming from outside. It is the way I am contacting. Sorrow comes to you in the same situation how somebody else is happy. Situation is same. So you have brought sorrow to yourself, not the person. Even to get this clicking in our mind is not easy because we are so much conditioned. We think stars are the problem. Stars ko think karna padega. I can't do anything about it. What do I have to do? Puja. Then when the stars become alright, things will become. First understand you are unmindfully contacted. The problem is with you. You don't know how to relate. You don't understand it. So yoga does not have to bring you joy because your original nature is joy. But you have brought about sorrow. This is something which people like Krishna are not able to understand. How have you created hell upon heaven? You are so wrongly wired to create hell upon hell by this kind of function. So from the mechanical functioning, we got to move to functioning with awareness. So Vedanta doesn't say, oh, these are all wrong things, don't do it. It doesn't say that. It says, continue doing it, but do it with awareness. Do it with attention. Slowly, slowly, what will happen? You will become a master. They will give away. They will get away from your system. They cannot continue. Anything you do with awareness cannot continue. Because you go out of that. You have to then only say, for people who are evolved Sankhya Yoga. Karma Yogena Yogina. You said that, right? Yogesmin Dvidha Nishtha Purapravata Mayanthara. Jnana Yogena Sankhya Nama Karma Yogena Yogina. But we are champions in criticizing environments. Situations are being labeled as good and bad. So we will make the situation bad and we will not even contact it. Vedanta is saying that is not the point, that is not going to help you. Anything you run away from is going to chase you. The moment you stop, you will find that it is within you. It has become more established in you. More and more established in you. So what does Vedanta say? Face it and fix it. Facing is yoga. Fixing happens much naturally. So the thing has been flowing in a direction for years, janmas. You created this cycle, janmas together. Right? If you just stop and look at it, some control you are giving over it. Then you start realizing that it is me who never gave time. See, many times what happens, you collect so many things, you know. You keep on using your credit cards. So when you use the credit card, they give you the bill along with that piece of paper that comes with the credit card usage, right? You go on collecting it in your handbag. And so busy, so busy, so busy. And your handbag is becoming heavier and heavier and all sorts of things. And things that you want to find, you are not able to find out. Because it's nonsense is all collected there. Because you never gave time. So what do you do? When it becomes too much, one day what do? You sit down. Pay attention to the back. Total attention. Take everything out. Segregate them. You have just been doing all this while in my back. Simple. Lord Krishna is just telling, pay attention. Yoga will make you pay attention. When you pay attention, you don't create any problem. By paying your bills on time, your phones will not be disconnected. Your electrical connection will not be disconnected. With me, when things have to be paid attention, you pay attention. The book, I forget which book it is, Stephen Covey talks about four things. Important, not important, urgent, not urgent. So he said, many of our attentions are all going with
not important.
Not important, urgent. Example?
Not important but urgent.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm trying to have everyday life. None of it is really, I think, important. And it all seems very urgent.
So, not important, not urgent.
Not important, not urgent.
Then, not important, urgent. Not important, not urgent. Very rarely you find a person whose attention goes to
important and urgent.
When important things are paid full attention, your urgency, emergency reduces.
Most important.
If you are focused, your paying bill is important. If you paid attention to paying bill, that won't become an emergency. Then in emergency, you try to go to the internet, then internet doesn't work.
Then you panic.
Exactly. When you panic, what happens? Stress can be helped. you see how the whole thing happens. You are not paying attention to important things in life. So end of the day, what Sivankara is saying is time management is nothing but paying attention. Mind management. Time management is nothing but mind management. There is no such thing. If you just bring in some other technique, keep a basket, throw all the way, pay attention, no? You pay attention. End of the day, time management is nothing but mind management. So that is what he is saying here. Arjuna, you are bringing sorrow to yourself. That yoga will remove. How? By keeping your mind, making sure that you don't do anything less, and do anything more. Spend more time in the club. What happened? I have very little time for the work. And what do I do? I carry my work to the house. And the result of it, what happens? I don't give myself as much as I should give to home. Then what do I do? I carry home to my office. So I'm carrying my home, I'm carrying my office, I'm carrying my club, I'm carrying everything in my mind. When everything is staying on my mind, what happens to my productivity? My walking becomes difficult. When the walking becomes difficult, what happens? I don't get the result. I don't get it, what happens? This becomes again more preoccupied. So busy, I have no time for anything. And neither here nor there. Shoka. I am not about shoka for myself. Now if I understand this, what do I have to do? Nothing else is more important for me. First, let me get rid of the excess baggage collected in my bag. What do I do? Retreat. 2 days chutti. Chutti karke, I am not watching movies. What am I doing? Looking fully into my handbag. People go to retreat to see new places. That is not the idea. The idea of a retreat is to go within. The moment I start paying attention, I have no time to complain about anybody. Because they are functioning the way they should be functioning. They would be functioning. That is their nature. Me. Why am I complaining? If you are complaining, understand that you are sick. And what is sickness? Sickness is a reminder to look within. There is something wrong the way I am approaching my life. So every time you complain, please understand this. The way I am approaching my life, there is something wrong. Things as they are, nothing wrong with them. But the way I approach, the way I meet them, the way I contact that object, there is something wrong. When I change the way I contact, things change. So a person who is focused upon his self-development has very little time to sit and judge others. We are wasting all our energies in criticism. To him who is regulated in eating, in recreation, in activities, in all the receipts of stimuli, the reactions within, the responses that is sent back to the world. If I can do it totally, if I can do it with my intellect backing, with total awareness. Even sleep. See, before electricity and especially bulb was invented, people had no problem. Now once the electricity and all the bulb and all these things are invented, now people mess up with their sleep. You don't need so much sleep. How can you say? That's what I said. Who decides this? It's very, very interesting. Even a woman's body is different from a man's body. Nature is different. You want to understand everything from your perspective. Why are you comparing? You can't say everybody only requires 7 hours for 8 hours. Right? How can you say that? If there's a child in the house, you tell the child, no, in fact, you don't disturb the child, let the child sleep. See, the problem is, from the practical level, we always take the aggregate. But aggregate may not be the truth, isn't it? What does aggregate mean? The sum total. You count and then you divide it. Then you come at a certain average. Average is at the practical level for the society, but for individual, average never works. On an average, if we calculate here, 7 hours sleep may be okay. So if that's the rule, everybody must sleep only 7 hours. What will happen? 2-3 individuals go mad. Please understand this. Average is brought about for managing. But in all these averages in management, there has to be exceptions. If the rules are made without exceptions, then the very rule is dangerous. Isn't it? The rule is made without exceptions, then the very rule is dangerous. Why? Because when the very rule was made, the intellect was not there. That is the problem. There has to be certain exceptions. And when they make a rule, and if they didn't see the exception while making the rule, that is why they have the provision of bringing in amendments later on. Acha, we didn't expect this possibility. As the society develops, this possibility comes up. Then this amendment is brought about in the very rule. So rule is there, rule is fine. But amendment A, A1, A2, A3, B1, B2, B3. Do you understand? All sorts of amendments. For what? See, please understand this. A society has to be dynamic, not stagnant. It wants to be vibrant. You can't say, that's how it is. Scriptures have said it. You can't take an average and decide that this much food is okay. Now this is only good, this is bad, functioning on averages. Then how much sleep is enough for you? How much sleep is too much for you? You've got to determine that. How much activity, the quantum, the concentration, everything, you've got to use your buddhi, you've got to determine that your life is directed by the buddhi. Thus, you will break all the shackles, all the sorrows. Sorrows are all established by you, created by you, not by nature. In nature there is no sorrow. It is established by you. If at all there was any nonsense, you created it. Like Swami Vivekananda once said in his lecture, and he concluded, he said, everything sensible you heard from me in this speech is my guru's, please nonsense are mine. It's a fact. In nature there is something wrong. You won't call a tiger good tiger and bad tiger. There's no such thing as good tiger and bad tiger. Kenneth Anderson in his book, Man-Eater, he says a tiger turns into a man-eater, or no matter any animal, mainly because of human beings. Because you go for hunting, you shoot the tiger, you may shoot the leg and not the tiger may not die. The bullet is there in the tiger's leg. And the easiest, and the tiger has now developed this energy is stuck against human beings. That happens. Secondly, what happens is the easiest to praise human beings. In a sense. And for such tigers, it preys on human beings. As a revenge, as a natural thing against somebody who killed it or tried to kill it. And then the taste, once the taste comes, it starts getting into the brain. Then now the tiger is looking for such easy prey. Otherwise they say, like you put the tiger in a cage. As a result of which, the tiger may try to eat a man. Very, very interesting. Those people who research on these animals, they talk about these things. They don't normally kill human beings. Unless there's something wrong done to that animal. Okay. In nature, there is no such thing as good and bad. Do you mean? But for the sake of regulation, certain things are brought about outside. Because human mind, when it is not fully attentive, it can go into a thief. Therefore, external laws are brought about. In fact, then inside, the person has become attentive. For him, there is no rules, regulations. There is nothing to be done by that fellow. Because anything he does it totally. Therefore, after the action is over, he still doesn't feel there is still something left behind. But in our case, every time we do something, we feel there is something that I have left behind.
ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति. सकलं परस्मै सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि नारायणायेति समर्पयामि.